and good morning. I know what you're thinking. I did volunteer for this, though. Rocky didn't make me, but if it's bad, then just blame Rocky for letting me do it. Hopefully, things will go smoothly, though. I really do appreciate the opportunity to speak with you this morning. I'm usually singing, but this is a nice change. And I also just really look forward to the things that this church has to look forward to in its future. And I really look forward to Matt and what he's been doing and what he will do for you. And I think that's just a huge praise that I hope we don't overlook, that he's here to help us and that we can come together and worship with him. But it's because I didn't choose any Christmas music, and that's my fault. I'm still in college, I'm still in school, so it's hard for me to think that it's Christmas. But with that, I wanted to talk about something kind of Christmassy. So I wanted to start with a little story that happened a few years ago with my mother and I. We were at a wedding reception for a good friend of ours that was actually our neighbor. Actually, this girl and I, we were married, believe it or not. I don't talk about it very much, but it got pretty complicated, which was unfortunate. I was young. I was only 5. So, but I learned a lot, and it still counts. But really, we were at this wedding reception outside, really cold. It was about this time of year, and we were walking there, and as we got to the door, a man approached us and asked us for money. And my mother didn't have her purse on her. She left it in the car. She didn't have any. So I looked in my wallet, and I had a few 20s and a 10. I remember very clearly, and I paused for a moment, and I pulled out the 10, and I gave it to him, and he said thank you, and we got to talking a little bit. We invited him inside, right inside the doorway where it was warm, got to know him. His name was Mike. And after we talked with him, he thanked us again, and he went on his way. And my mother asked me how much I had given him, and I told her it was $10. And she was very taken aback by that, very surprised by how much money that was. Like, it was a loan that I had just given out to somebody. But really, it was just $10. And I had more than that to give, but I didn't give it, and I don't know why. Which still kind of bothers me today because, I mean, we all have so much to give, and we all have so much to offer, and I mean, it wouldn't have hurt me in any way, and it is hard to trust people sometimes with what they'll do with it, but it's just really been on my mind. And in the Bible, it speaks of giving all the time, and I think it's interesting that I was so apprehensive to that, but for example, in Hebrews 13:16, do not neglect to do good and share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Romans 15:1-2, we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. And Galatians 6:9-10, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are in the household of faith, just to name a few examples. And although those were kind of all over the place, it just shows that it tells us all the time to give, which got me thinking about this time of year a lot, and it's the season of giving. Have you thought about that, that it's just for a season to give, and then the rest is just to wait until that season to give, that you have until November 28th till December 24th, and then you can't give ever again, no more. And then you can start giving. I just think that's an interesting idea, and obviously that's over-exaggerating, but I feel like that's kind of how society looks at it, is that I have to shop on Black Friday, and I have that time to give, and when Christmas is over, then I can kind of settle back. But that shouldn't be the case. It should be all the time. And I'd like to call this kind of this whole sermon I'm giving a lifetime of giving, because that's really what it should be. So if you'd like to turn, actually, sorry, yeah, turn with me to James 1:22. Now, I say that we should give, but if we gave all the time, if we gave to people like Mike, if we gave $10 every single day, then we may even end up in his situation. That's kind of the reality. So that kind of begs the question, does it have to be a tangible thing? Does it have to be money? Does it have to be food or clothing? Although those are instantly gratifying, that we have to have food, obviously we need shelter and money does get us by, but does it need to be something that we can hand somebody? And that's something I'd like to talk about to you today. So in James, this passage has challenged me ever since becoming a Christian, and I hope it does for you too. In James it says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless." And that really has struck a chord with me ever since I've become a believer, in that it's just kind of all about the follow-through, I guess, that we have this opportunity to be here, this privilege to worship with one another, but it should never just stay here. And we talk about that all the time, ever since that I've started coming, that it's a constant theme, is that what we have here, we must take, we're called to do that. And if it wasn't for a few guys that chose to do that for me, then I probably wouldn't be standing here before you. And I say that since I've become a Christian, I say that because I haven't always been. I've spent most of my life straying away from the idea of Christianity, just because of how I was raised, that religion wasn't necessary. And through that, I continued to think of the idea that I was better than the Christian standard, that we get a bad rap, honestly, in society today. And I was like, well, you know what, I'm a little better than that, you know. But really, that wasn't the case at all. And like I said, it was only because of a few guys that I came to know Jesus Christ and that I can stand here before you. So I'd like to share that story with you. It was November 2012 of my junior year of high school for me, and I was with a few seniors in a small group, just kind of talking about life. It wasn't solely dedicated to the Bible quite yet. It was just kind of getting to know each other, getting to talking about each other, how school was going, home life, girls, the typical high school boy thing. But it didn't just start with that. I didn't kind of just jump into this group and begin to learn. I had been going to a youth group at this church in Gridley in my hometown for about a year, but it took a long time for me to express really some personal things that was going on that I could share with these guys. And through the course of going through this to this youth group, I really wasn't even there to learn. I was there to challenge their beliefs, challenge the lessons that they were teaching. And if we weren't in a small group, I was just hanging out with the guys. I just wanted to see them because they had shown me something that I hadn't seen anywhere else. They didn't come up to me. They didn't ask me about if I knew Jesus Christ or if I would like to be saved or anything like that. Just simply by what they were doing in their actions with each other showed me that they had something that I didn't have. And that I really wanted it. They were kind to each other, they made each other laugh, and they were just there for each other. And I was pretty envious, so I really kind of wanted to get in on that. And I knew they were believers, but again, I didn't know why. So I kind of gave in. I said, okay, I'll go to this youth group. I'll start to see how it is. And like I said, the more I went and hung out with them, the more I felt comfortable with challenging the leaders' lessons and their questions and their ideals. And it wasn't to be a brat or to be stubborn or anything. I genuinely wanted to challenge their faith and to see why they believed what they did and what they had to back it up. Because at the time, I it was ridiculous to me. I didn't get it, and I wanted them to prove it to me. So for those several months, I would go there, I would question them, we would talk, and then I would go back home to my family, and we would discuss those questions. And now my family doesn't hate Christianity. I don't want you to get that idea, but again, like I said, I wasn't raised a Christian, and that's just because they wanted me to experience things for myself, and I really appreciate that. Mostly from my father, who is not a religious man, was never raised that way. And although he does believe in certain things and has a very good moral and spiritual foundation, religion is kind of something he just genuinely doesn't like for several reasons that I can understand. But obviously he was okay with me joining, because that's why I'm here today, so that's pretty cool. Now my mother, she is pretty religious. She was raised that way, but not so much that she made us go to church, I suppose. When I was with her family, her side of the family, we would go to church, but when I was with my dad's side, that was not the case. So back to the youth group, it wasn't until that November that I realized what my friends had really believed in and why that nothing that I could ask or any questions I could pose to them at the youth group or at the small group would stand in their way of believing what they continued to believe, that I couldn't say anything and they'd be like, you know what, you're right, I'm gonna follow you now. They continued to stay firm in their faith, and I think that goes to show just how much they really care and how much they really believe. So during that night, they continued to ask me some questions about my family, kind of how they thought about me continuing to go to these youth groups, because it had been a while. And it was starting to kind of get a little awkward that I kept going. And even though I always didn't like it and I always questioned things, I was still going. And it was just kind of odd. And the toughest part of that night was eventually coming and confronting the fear that my father thought less of me because I kept coming to these groups. And that just really scared me. But not in a sense that I realized I needed to stop attending, but that I needed to continue going and be dedicated to going and to dedicate my life to those teachings and those values, because it just made sense to, and I wasn't afraid to. So the next thing I knew, after a little while of talking about those difficult issues, I sort of broke down in a very vulnerable state that I haven't felt before. That it was very strange to me, and those guys sort of surrounded me and started praying over me. And in that moment, I knew that I was saved. And that was something very difficult for me to kind of grasp, and it still is, but that night I can really say that I came to know Christ, and it was just because of those guys there. So what followed was having to go home, which was really tough, because my parents were waiting there. And as a new believer, I had no clue what to say or what to do about standing up for myself or things like that. So I went home very scared, and I didn't really say a lot, but how it usually went, I would go home and I would say something about the lesson and my father would say something back and we would kind of talk about it, but that night I didn't, and he kind of just brought something up himself, and then him and my mother started kind of discussing and arguing about it a little bit, and I just kind of sat there very apprehensive to the whole thing because I knew that something was different and that I was now going there for a reason. And that took a long time for me to adjust, but my mother was very supportive of it, and she understood where I was coming from and that she was with me all the way. So after that, I would eventually start to join the praise team at that church, join the youth team, and later that the next year in October, I was baptized again in a sort of field of faith thing out in the football field. It was about colder than it is now, so that was great. But it was very surprising to find myself in that situation, and I just remember thinking the whole time that how scared I was of my father being disappointed in me for joining this new group and this new ideal. But he embraced me more than I ever thought he would in my new finding for my faith, and we've been closer ever since. And I it's still hard for me to believe that it's come that far, and that coming to something like this has changed me so much. And now I'm here before you today, and I've been with you, and it's been an awesome ride. And the point of that, I guess, was just to say that you don't have to have anything to give something. You as a person have so much to give, whether it be your time or your presence, maybe some advice. We like to give that sometimes, maybe when it's not always necessary, but we have those things to give, and it was because of those guys at that small group that night that I was saved and that I'm here, and that their determination to help me find my path on this journey that kept me going. They didn't give up just because I was being stubborn or questioning what they were doing. That testing of faith is necessary for us to continue as Christians. So just like it says in Galatians, don't give up. We shouldn't give up. We should give in. We should give in to the teachings of the Bible. We should give in to saying yes to things, to saying that sometimes we may not have what it takes to give something, but that we should do it anyways because it could change somebody's life, and it changed mine. So with that, I mean, I'm scared with what the future has to bring, but I really appreciate what you've done for me here, that you've continued my faith, that I can come at school at a liberal arts private school where it's a bit tough to get involved at church. But I found this, and it's been great ever since. And we should really take pride in the fact that what we believe here, what we have here, and that we don't take it for granted, because more people like me could show up, or anybody could show up, and it's just on us to say hello, to offer them to come, or just to get to know them. Those little things make such a huge difference in the long run, especially for those who really might need it. So it wasn't much, but thank you, and with that I'd like to call the worship team back up. And if there's anyone that needs to pray or needs to just talk or maybe discuss some doubts that you have, because that's important, is to be open about those things, because it's important to test your faith. Just like in James, again, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for bringing us here this morning, Lord, that we can come together and worship you and get to know you and realize just how blessed we are, Lord, that We have this place that we can get to know you, that we can get to know each other, that we can be a fellowship of believers, and that's just something that we should not take for granted, that we should love every moment and continue these ideals outside of this place, Father, that's what we're called to do, that we should continue to give every chance that we get, whether that be monetary or just being there as believers in Christ, that our presence can make such a difference. And we just thank you for that opportunity, Father. We thank you for this morning, and we pray all these things in your holy name. Amen.